all Linux Foundation meetings. This is held in the Linux Foundation antitrust policy. If you have any questions about these matters, please contact your company counsel. Or if you're a member of the Linux Foundation, feel free to contact Andrew Updegrove of the firm Gesmer Updegrove LLP, which provides legal counsel to the Linux Foundation. I'm going to stop sharing. And Yanko and Svetan, take it away in 1 second. We originally had thought next week would be completely closed and no one would be around. I'm going to send out an email to everybody after the workshop today to see if anyone is interested in doing a session of the workshop next Wednesday. Just because we want to keep the momentum going. We're only doing one workshop this week. There's only today and tomorrow. Today's workshop and tomorrow's office hours. And we're thinking of maybe if we can get enough folks interested, we could do another workshop session next Wednesday. So that's the only housekeeping I have. I'm going to post in chat in 1 second a link to the workshop page, which has the recordings. If you want to go back and reference the recordings, we have the video and the audio. If you listen to the audio, I hope you get something out of it, because I think it's impossible to understand what's going on without the video present, but good on you. But we've got both present. And hey, Adnan, hey, Mohan, welcome. And I think with that, I'll turn it over to Yanko and Svetan. You're up. Oh, and this guy drove off. Great.
Maybe I can share, Yanko, my screen just for to do a quick intro, a recap, and then I'll hand it over to you. Okay. So I hope you can see my screen. Again, welcome to the next phase of our journey. We'll be going through a couple of very important steps today that are related to provisioning some resources on AWS that will be hosting our Hyperledger Fabric nodes and our OpenIDL applications. So what we'll be doing, I'll be really quick here. We'll be doing a short recap of what we did the last time. So what's gonna happen next, and then the next steps. So last session, the main important thing that we managed to do is to bring up a Kubernetes cluster where we install Jenkins and AWS. That we use to run some infrastructure as a code from Jenkins to provision the resources for the Hyperledger Fabric nodes and the OpenIDL applications. Another thing that we also did deploy is the AUX, which is the Ansible tower, where we'll be managing, orchestrating the different Ansible scripts that we'll be using, not today, but the sessions after, to essentially start deploying everything on the provisioned clusters. So visually, we are actually done with the first important step. And today we will be configuring some Terraform files and do some configuration in Jenkins so we can actually prepare to run a job that will take a while to provision all the resources that will be needed for the next session. So a couple of things to note down here. Last time we talked about a node definition where we defined the MSP or the organization ID and all that. So keep track of those things. They're important because coming with the next sessions and including this one, we'll be reusing those settings. Furthermore, please keep track of all users and passwords you've been setting for access to Jenkins, AUX, and whatever resources, other resources we provision, because those access those credentials we will be using going forward. So they're very, very important. To give you a gut feeling of what kind of credentials we will be needing. That's going to be, actually we'll need them within the next session scope. We'll be using some private Git repositories. We'll be using a access key and ID to actually access key and I need to access the provision Kubernetes clusters to deploy the OpenIDL resources applications there. We'll be using some SSH credentials where we will be actually jumping into, that will be done automatically for you, but we need just to capture that. I'll be using the SSH access to the EC2 instance that we'll be, Yanku will be provisioning today. So we will be using it to execute our Ansible scripts for deployment and configuration. And of course, for those who deploy HDS, we will need to have access to an HDS database, which is essentially an RDS, Postgres RDS, that we can provision in AWS. And last but not least, that is a freestyle define user and password for the Fabric operator console that we'll be coming up with. So there is nothing here to worry about. We'll be defining those when the time comes with the next session. So with that, I will hand that over to Yanko, so we can start actually the steps of running the infrastructure as a code, scripts, Terraform scripts to provision the Kubernetes clusters. So Yanko, please go ahead. I'll stop sharing right now.
Sounds good. Thanks, Tadeu. That was a great intro to this session. And to get this started, so we last time we finished with setting up Jenkins and Hawks. Today we're going to use only Jenkins. I've already signed in as the admin user. The optional step of assigning a DNS record for the ops cluster. So we did that internally. If anyone has questions or concerns how to do that, we can address it, but it's basically just adding a record into your Route 53 in Amazon, in AWS. Yeah, that was pretty much it. So it's good to have. It's not a must, like we mentioned last time, but it just makes it easier to find the cluster and your tools in that way. So I'm going to the next step, infrastructure provisioning. So we have another small script that we want to run. So when we go to Terraform. Terraform.io. So when we go to the app, we have already some of those workspaces. As you can see, the N107 was created last time. Those workspaces are used for our internal resources. So now we want to create workspaces for the main infrastructure or Terraform scripts that will hold the infrastructure in terms of OpenIDL node related infrastructure for this session. And now if we go back to the terminal. So we are back to our kind of workshop folder. We have our OpenIDL DevOps. So we'll go there. Then we're going to go again to AWS infrastructure environments. And now we're going to go to the Sinopi test. The name of the folder and the environment is random, just descriptive. It doesn't matter what you choose, but anyways, we are inside now, and we still have the configurations from the last time, the org vars, we have the IAM module, the Terraform automation user, and so forth. So now we want to go to the Terraform cloud folder, and over here we want to basically run Terra Grant plan. So that will be our first step. today. So if we run Telegram plan, so this on its own should connect to Terraform Cloud via the API and Terraform. And it would create two workspaces for us, one of them used for the pure AWS resources, and the other one for the Kubernetes resources, which are installed on top. And then it will just create those workspaces, create a var set, which contains the different properties and configurations that we will need for the main Terraform scripts.
Janko, just a quick thing, just to summarize, so we all know what's been done right now. Just list in high level what we are deploying right now in terms of AWS resources.
Mm-hmm. Right now, we're not deploying anything in terms of AWS. This is just connecting to Terraform Cloud. And it creates a var set and two workspaces, right? We're still not on the phase of creating AWS resources.
Okay, that's fine. It's just I want to make sure when we reach there, so we know what we've
done. Okay,
that's the heads up. Okay,
yeah, that's it's a bit convoluted and complicated in that sense that we have. Generally, this would be something that you would have to do manually, but we wanted to have that script so that it creates properly the workspaces that we need without having to do that as a manual step. So this particular step is auxiliary, and as you can see, here are the names of the workspaces. So this is one of the workspaces in Terraform Cloud, and this is the other one. So what we're going to do is we're just going to apply that change, and then we'll go and verify that we have the workspaces and the var set into our Terraform Cloud account. Acknowledge. Okay. And so now the error suggests workspace not found.
I got the same error.
Yeah. This workspace. ETF. Okay, so let's try to take a look at that and see where that's coming from. So the module on its own is right here, Terraform Cloud. We have the main, and then it's complaining online 12. That it cannot find the workspace. Okay. Well, the only so the telephone RC. So we have this Navi, and yeah, actually correct. So it's definitely not a performance issue. Not performance, but authentication. This is the simplest script, but for some reason. Okay. So let me just run again to make sure that it wasn't the problem with Terraform Cloud.
Here's the right. So and you didn't update any config files yet, right? You're just rerunning Terraform apply.
Yeah, it should be using the same files that we already configured previous time.
Okay.
So that shouldn't be. So the other workaround for this would be to just manually create those workspaces, which we'll probably do if this fails right now. Okay, let's see. Resource not found. That doesn't make sense because that's what we want to create. So what we're going to do is we're going to copy the name here. And domestic consumer ideas. So we'll go directly into the workspaces here. And just make sure that if something was created already. This one is not something that we want. So we'll go directly and we'll create that from here. So we create a new workspace. The workspace will have to be.
So I don't know if I got behind you or not. So I just got into Terraform. I searched for N105 test TF cloud. One workspace came up. It's in run status error. So
yeah, this is the one that it just failed. So if we go and take a look at the run and what it contains. So the apply error is pretty much the same what we were getting, resource not found.
Okay.
And then, so it's comparing that it cannot find the Kubernetes resource, which is this. And it is referenced right here to the ID. Yeah, I don't have a good explanation why it's failing. So, tf.org, org ID, and tf.org. And F. So unless so environments, Synology, and then we have a telephone cloud. So our tf.org and org ID. Yep, totally the same variables. Anyways, so now we will go and we'll just create those workspaces. That's pretty simple. You can just create directly from the UI. And then, so we go directly to workspaces.
Workspaces.
Go to new and workspace.
New workspace.
So the type. We'll just use the version control workflow. No, it's another one, the client-driven workflow. And then we're going to put the name as basically this would be your organization ID dash environment, which is test dash Kubernetes KWS resources.
Okay. So. Okay.
Yeah. That will be the first workspace. And then we'll go back to workspaces. We create a new one again. And again, client driven. This time we replace KWS with AWS.
Spaces, new workspace.
Yeah. And
can you stay on there for a second? Let me get test AWS resources. Oh wait, mine's gonna be 105, not 107.
Yeah, that's the only difference.
Yep. Okay.
And then we go to settings.
Back to workspaces, then settings, or settings within workspaces.
The main page.
Okay.
So you should see manage project workspaces.
Yep. Okay.
Settings.
Yeah.
Arrival sets. And then what we're gonna add here is oh wait, we want to create a variable set first. And it should be named something like that.
Okay.
And the most important part here is to choose the workspaces it needs to apply to. So we choose both the ones that we just created and Kubernetes and AWS.
Okay.
Apply to specific workspaces only. And then we create variable set. And then something else that we need to do is, so we go back to, project and workspaces. We find the Kubernetes resources workspace. Settings. So remote sharing. So this would be the workspace it needs to share with. So we have to find the other one, which is the AWS. we open the AWS resources.
Yep.
With space, we go to settings, and then we find share with specific workspaces, and then we select the Kubernetes workspace.
Okay.
So that way, the state of the AWS workspace will be shared with the Kubernetes service workspace.
Okay.
And this is basically, this was a step for creating the workspaces. So the next one is we need to create a KMS key. So we need to go to the AWS console, look for KMS, the management service.
KMS, got it, okay.
Make sure that it will be in the right region that you want this created or used. So in my case, that's US East 2. In your case, Peter, that might be US East 1.
No, I believe we found out last time that there's some hard-coded US East 2. So US East 2 is the only one that's going to work right now.
So we can install the rest of the components in US East 1 if that's what you prefer.
I don't want to make it hard.
Okay. No, it's it shouldn't be that hard. It's actually.
I'm fine with US East 2. Not a big deal.
Okay. So we have a setting for the AWS region inside the var set. And it's actually something that we can configure into when we populate all the parameters, right? So you can see here that this is US East 2. You can change it to US East 1 when we get to that point. But for the time being, we just create a key for the region that we want the rest of the components to live. And then we just leave everything as is, click next, and then maybe put an alias, support an IDO.
What did you call it? Just open IDO?
Yeah.
Okay.
We click on next, nothing here we need to select. Again, next, and next. And then we finish. And we should be able to get. So this is what we're gonna need from it, but for the time being, if we continue with the next. The next step is we have to go to OpenIDO DevOps Automation and Terraform Cloud, and then we need to open configuration properties for edit, which is where we are already. And then if we copy that KMS ARN. We can just replace it over here.
Okay, and I want that at the key KMS ARN. No space.
No space.
All right, we're there. Control O, Control X. Okay.
So now we have to populate the rest of the properties for this configuration props.
Okay.
So the first one is the TFC token, which we already have inside our Terraform RC. So you can just copy paste this. Place it as a TFC token. Terraform IO stays as is. Then we input the GFC org name. And then
where did we have our org name saved up?
You can find it easiest from the UI, and it should show up right here.
Okay.
That should be your old name.
Okay.
Okay, G. I'll see. Give us a decision. And now, so we want to go and find the var set that we just created. Workspaces, settings, var other sets. And this is our var set. So this is the ID. Org ID is our ID that was already sent by Satan. Environment is test. Domain name would be your subdomain that you may be using. So in my case, if we go to our hosted zone, this would be my subdomain. So I would just enter it here. AWS account number is right here.
So this is going to be everything that's before the carrier one name.
Yeah, that would be the root subdomain, right? If that's what you can go with, but yeah, this will host all the other kind of domain names. Okay, so we set the account name, the region. You can change the region here to whatever you like. And then we need to copy also the AWS access key. So that would be the Terraform AWS access key, which we already have in the org vars. That's just right here.
And where's org var? What folder's org vars in?
It's in AWS infrastructure environments and whatever environment you created, and then right under it.
And you want to, and this is the Terraform access key?
Yes, correct.
Got it.
And the secret key. Yep. And that's how the properties file should look like when it's all done.
All right.
Okay, so now the next step is to, all right. So we need to create some SSH keys for the app cluster, the blockchain cluster, and the Bastion. So,
what folder are we running those in? Does it matter?
Ideally, somewhere where you would associate them with the environment. So I would just run them inside
the environments folder.
Yeah, correct.
Okay.
So here, so we can just generate those one by one.
Okay.
You choose a passphrase, or you can just hit enter. So all those keys are now generated. We have the private key and the public key. And then the next step now is to go and run that So we go to this other folder, which is OpenIDO DevOps Automation Terraform Cloud.
Give me 1 second. I'm still generating keys. Okay, keys are generated. Now what? Go to which folder?
So now we go to OpenIDO DevOps Automation and Terraform Cloud.
Okay, I'm here.
Okay, so we can run pip install-r requirements.
Oh man, give me a second. I don't have pip, so I gotta install pip.
In the meantime, so this step is basically allowing us to populate the var set. As you can see, there's 63 or 62 variables that are used by the Terraform scripts. And in order to avoid the manual work, so there's this simple Python script that takes them and populates the var set with the values. It uses also some templating where we are able to just provide a few of those instead of all of them, all of those values. And the idea here is that once we run the script, we'll have all the values, all the properties inside the var set.
Okay, I got pip installed. What do I need? And I installed pip, and then I did a pip install for our requirements. And then what's next?
Yeah. Okay. So the next step is to go to and run Python populate variable set.
Same folder.
Yes.
I'm getting some issue with that. I'm just gonna run Python 3 populate variable set. Because I think it's trying to run my Python 2 install, which was the word Python.
Yeah, you need Python 3, please.
Now I'm getting a new error. It says no module named TerraSnake. So does that mean I need pip?
So you may have to run pip 3 in order to install the module.
Okay. Pip 3-r. No, pip 3 install dash r requirements.
Yes.
Okay, that did work. Okay. And now we're going to try to populate variable set on 3. Var set not found by name. N105 test var set. So is that an error on my Terraform? Probably. Let's see.
What is the error?
Okay. The error says Python, it says var set not found by name, N105 test var set. So let's see. Mm-hmm. So I'm looking in Terraform, that is the right name.
Did you type yes?
Say it one more time.
Did you type yes when you run the script?
Where should it prompt me for yes?
As you can see, we have a question from the Python script that says, do you want to import the data into this var set? Did you get that question?
I'm not getting the question.
Okay. Okay, let me see what happens when I... So maybe make sure that the configuration that you have is correct. Because first of all, you need you need the token to be correct, you need the TFC org to match, and you need the var set to be exactly as it is in your Terraform cloud. So for me, the generation or the import finished. So if we go back to the var set and just if there's the page here. So we can see that we have a lot of variables and their values. So this will be the there would be some things that you may have to change, but this is how it's supposed to look.
Yeah, I'm not getting var set not found by name.
Just make sure that you have that var set in your.
Yeah, I'm looking at the var set on one screen. Well, okay, it says there's no variables added. But that's how it's supposed to be, right? Before I run it, right?
Yes, it should be empty. Let me start.
Yeah, so it's empty. I'm pretty sure my where could I find my TFC token to make sure that I have the right one on here?
Well, we have it. So if you do a cat and in your home folder, you should have a Terraform RC file.
Okay, let me try that and make sure that I get
this. And this will be the token that we used previously. So you can just
copy. I have some notes written. Okay. Let's see. RC. That looks, yeah, that's the same token. So my token's the same. My org ID looks like what I'm seeing on here. And my var set name looks the same. Can I see your configuration of properties one more time? Yeah, okay. That's var set though. Test voice, Snoopy, OpenIDL AIS. Terraform looks right, token looks right. Yeah, everything looks right on mine, but it's not, it's definitely not. It says it can't find it. I guess maybe we could pick it up with me at office hours tomorrow and you could just keep going with the demo.
Okay, sounds good.
Okay.
So yeah. After we get in to that status, that state. So what we can do, the next step is copying the contents of the public keys to populate them in the variable set. So if you go back to the Terraform, so one of the things is that this script doesn't populate the SSH keys. So we will need to find all the SSH keys that we have, and we need to pre-populate them with the public keys that we have, or we have just generated. So if we go back to the previous environment, so we have, for example, for app EKS, what we're gonna do is we're gonna print the public key. I'm going to copy it and then I'm going to go and paste the value. So we save and then we continue with the next one, which is SSH and the bastion. So we go again, edit. We copy the public key. Paste it, save. And then the last one is the blockchain Okay. Okay, so now we're done with this. We have all the setup that we need. And now we have to go and configure Jenkins. So Peter, you can probably follow with Jenkins at the least.
Okay.
Related, but so now we need to figure out Jenkins. And configure the cloud, kind of the cloud configuration there. So we already have Jenkins here. So what we need to do is go to Jenkins manage nodes and configure clouds. So we go to Jenkins manage Jenkins and clouds. They have changed a little bit the names of those menus, but yeah, should be all right. So now we see that we have two clouds, which is interesting. Yeah, maybe you did one of them. Maybe not. So open the Kubernetes Cloud, configure, and we need to go and find the pod template. So this would be under pod templates. We should be able to find labels, pod template details. So pod templates. Template details. Now we have labels and we have to add OpenID here. So that's the first step. We save. Okay. I forgot that. So there's another something else that we need to do there. So we go back. Configure templates. Template details. And we have to remove this sleep command to run. For some reason, it's causing a problem. And this is how it should look like. There should be nothing in there. Okay, we save. And then create the Terraform job template. So now, so we go into Jenkins, manage Jenkins, and manage credentials. Manage Jenkins, credentials, and global credentials. Okay. Okay, they've changed the menus for some reason in the latest version of Jenkins, but manage conventions and stores. Okay, so that's hidden under manage Jenkins credentials system and global credentials, and then we add a new credential. Which would be token. So this will be the TF-bearer token. So this will be a TF-bearer token. The password would be So that would be again this token that we have. This secret. Okay. So this text secret and GF will open. Then the next step is adding Git credentials. So we need to add any Git credentials there. So that's not here. Okay. So the Git credentials were under the system. So for us to make Terraform work with the Git repository, like generally we should have a Git credential, but because our repository is public, we can skip that step, so we don't have to do it. So the next step would be to create the Terraform job directly. So what we need to do there is go to Jenkins, create a new item, create a new Terraform job that we're just gonna name as Terraform job. This will be a type pipeline. It will come from a script from the Git repository. And then everything we need to do is just point it to OpenIDL AS GitOps repository, and then I just choose the Jenkins job and the Jenkins TF file. So that'll be the last kind of intensive manual work that I need to do for this session. We leave here. So we go back to the POM page. We click on new item. And then we create here a pipeline. Terraform job. That will be. And so over here, we need to figure out what we're going to do with the script. So we choose pipeline script from SCM, we choose Git, and then we need the repository URL. So the repository URL here is basically this would be our repository, and this would be the HTTPS. So Peter, if you need that, just let me know. I can send it to you.
Okay.
I'll just send it to everybody in this. So, this one is the HTTPS endpoint. So we go back to Terraform. We fill in the URL. There's no credentials needed, but it's a public repository. And we want to so the branch that we are interested in is operator develop. With the branch operator dash develop. Yeah. And the script path for Jenkins is located here. So this will be our script path. Okay. Anything else we may have to do? No credentials, SCM is good. Yeah, that's pretty much it. Okay, we'll save this. And So everything that we need to do right now, that's if you have all the var sets and everything else configured. Something that I wanted to point out is there's maybe a couple of variables that are specific to Sanofi that I noticed here, and they may have to be updated for your organization, but generally, I think the only one is the subscription email and where the emails are going to come from. And then also we have this API user. But yeah, essentially those two would be more specific to us, but they will have to be updated in your own OpenID or node configuration. Okay, so now what we have to do is run the job. The first time we're going to run it, it is going to pull the details from the Git repository, because the configuration is actually lives inside the Git repository under Jenkins jobs and Jenkins TF file. So that's a Groovy script specific to Jenkins that would need to be pulled from by Jenkins and configured locally. Let's see what happens. Now Jenkins is installing some tools, because that's the first time it runs those. So we'll have to wait for those tools to get installed. So yeah, if we go back to the job, now we see that the build changed with build with parameters. Yeah, unfortunately, the first time when you run it, it's Jenkins doesn't know what's going on. So now that it knows that there's a certain script, then and certain parameters that we need to fill in. So the first thing is to fill in your organization ID for Terraform. The org name, that would be your ID that we already have. Environment is test. Job prefix, we are leaving this empty. And then for the Git repository, we need to change this here to Sanofi. And then the branch would be this branch, which is bunch. Operator does develop. Okay. So that would be operator does develop. So that's the configuration that we need to have. And then essentially we're just running this again, which would try to do the same things again, but this time with the values that we provided. Also output. So now Jenkins, that script doesn't have to be run in Jenkins. It's it could be also isolated into a shell script, but essentially it does some bundling of zip files, but essentially one big zip file that or archive that it sends over to Terraform Cloud and asks Terraform Cloud to execute those scripts against the workspaces that we just created an hour ago. And as soon as it reaches that point, we'll see that our workspace is actually doing some work and reporting on the progress. So yeah, the logs suggest that we are currently running the build in Terraform. So as you can see, this project right now is interrupted. So if we go to runs and we see what happened. And we assume there are a number of possible calls for this. The most common are. Actually, correct. Oh, wait. So I'm sure that the role is correct. I believe I may have changed the access key. That's correct. So we go to users and telephone user, switch credentials. This one is inactive, and this one is active on. So right now, the best approach is to just go directly into the var set and update the secret key. And so what we can do now is just rerun that job. Let's single start with stage, but and now we have to wait for the second run, but this time the result should be different. And essentially, at this point, it's mostly just waiting for the script to complete. You know, I did it successfully without any error, but this is more or less the last step of creating all the infrastructure that we'll need for the next sessions. Are there any questions or, you know, something that was unclear that we can?
Well, I mean, I have some questions about the Jenkins. So is sure. The Jenkins that you're logging into here, is that the Jenkins that we set up for my case on that box, or is that a different, or is that a cloud Jenkins installation that you're logging into?
No, that's the Jenkins that we set up in the previous session, right? So
it is. If I don't have the Route 53 stuff set up, can we access it with an IP?
So if you need to access it, then you would have to connect to the Kubernetes cluster, or you can go directly to, I believe you can find it also from.
We can dive into that more tomorrow. I gotta figure out. I gotta talk to Tom and Mark and find out what we're doing with our Route 53 stuff, because I think we're gonna do a subdomain off of a URL that we have in another AWS account. So I need to kind of figure out what our game plan of that's gonna be. Mm-hmm. I also forgot that I have a doctor's appointment 15 minutes before office hours tomorrow, so I don't think I'll be able to make office hours tomorrow. Maybe if the second half of it, would probably not. So I will be here on Wednesday, but we might be picking stuff up on Thursday for where IIS is.
Yeah, Peter, as of right now, we don't have we have nothing scheduled for this Wednesday or Thursday. So I'm trying to see if we can schedule something for next Wednesday or Thursday.
Okay.
Okay, so if you want to figure out the endpoint for Kubernetes without going in and using kubectl, you may be able to do that through the load balancers over okay. here. So we can see that we have only one load balancer. So that was our endpoint that we linked in DNS with the DNS entry. So if you just open this, and if you just copy the DNS name, mm-hmm. And just hit it into a browser, it should give you the same cluster. So the endpoint here is Cloud Jenkins.
Great. Okay, so Sean, you're gonna get this video posted up, and then I'll try to work through the video. So we're not doing office hours on Thursday. Are we doing normal?
So we don't have a workshop scheduled for this Wednesday, so we wouldn't have office hours on Thursday. But if we want to do office hours tomorrow, we're definitely going to be around. So we could, if you want to say, Peter, you know, do it at 3:00, we could definitely be there for that.
Doctors are always notoriously slow. If I tell you guys I'll be back by 3, I'm sure they won't even see me till 2:45. Are you guys doing that normal Sanofi stand-up at 2:00 on Thursday?
We would be doing stand-up at 1:30. No, we don't have stand-up this week because Sanofi's out the second half of this week.
Okay. All right. Well, I'll be on the lookout for the email from you, Sean, we get the video up, and then we can figure out where to go from there.
All righty.
Okay, thanks.
Not almost.
Okay, so it seems like the name that we have for the cluster does not comply with what AWS expects. Let's go and take a look at what the name is. That's the name. Okay. Isn't really groundbreaking, but Okay. Yeah, I think I'll have to dive into the Terraform script and figure out what exactly it's trying to use. But essentially, it's just telling us that something is not quite all right. So yeah, we don't necessarily need to do it right now in the session unless someone really wants to stick around and do it. But yeah, at this point, it's just troubleshooting the errors and trying to make the script run. But yeah, as you can see, that there's a lot of resources that need to be created, and this usually takes, you know, half an hour to an hour for everything to run. So if we go and find, I'll have to go and find the exact place and where that's used. But maybe tomorrow in the office hours, I'll troubleshoot that offline, and then we'll report what exactly was the problem for everybody to know why that was the case. But yeah, at this point, I think there isn't much else that we can show that will be useful for setting up the infrastructure.
Okay. Does anybody have any questions for Yanko and Svetan on what they just saw or where we are right now? I know we lost a couple folks due to scheduling problems, but we started out pretty strong. All right, so I'm going to post this video as soon as it encodes. If I don't have to do any editing to it, I'll check with Yanko and Svetan on that. That'll get posted tonight. We do have office hours tomorrow from 2 to 4. Let me know if you are coming to office hours. Just shoot me an email. Everybody's got my email. I'm going to send everybody a note this afternoon once the video is posted so they can download it and watch it on at their leisure. Let us know if you're coming to office hours so we can, you know, stick around. If you're going to be in at 2 or if you're going to be in at 3, we can make sure that we're available. Yanko or Svetan, anything else you want to say before we close this part of the workshop?
Yeah, for the office hours tomorrow, we'll be trying to show some troubleshooting just to make sure that we resolve the issues that we're facing, and probably it's something that will be of interest. If Peter cannot join, of course, we can reach out so we can talk. The thing is that after we provision those Kubernetes resources, we'll be ready to deploy everything. So we'll be extracting some information from the run of the scripts to gain access to those clusters later on. So that's something that we will be setting up within the next session, and hopefully to complete within the classroom sessions tomorrow.
Awesome. All right, everybody. Thank you so much for joining this third session of the Node Builder Workshops. I'm going to send out a thank you note a little bit later, along with a link to where the video is. And we are available tomorrow from 2 to 4 p.m. for office hours. So let me know if you're coming by so we don't, so we make sure we're available. Thank you, Yanko. Thank you, Svetan.
Thanks, everyone.
Thank you.